This is a Harold Arlen tune titled Last Night When We Were Young, and Yip Harburg provided these lyrics. Last night when we were young, love was a star, a song unsung. Life was so new, so real, so right, ages ago, last night. Today the world is old, you flew away and time grew cold. Where is that star that shone so bright, ages ago, last night? To think that spring had depended on merely this, a look, a kiss. To think that something so splendid could slip away in one little daybreak. So now, let's reminisce and recollect the sighs and the kisses, the arms that clung when we were young last night. There's a bittersweet quality here, a sense of loss of someone and something so bright and alive, now gone. But now there are all the treasured memories and the love and companionship of those memories. So now let's reminisce and recollect, and we might add, never forget. We're hearing Last Night When We Were Young, performed by the Phil Woods Quintet, and people will be gathering this coming weekend to remember Phil Woods, who died a year ago at the age of 83. And what was remarkable about Phil Woods was that not only did he love working with young people, he, in a sense, never grew old himself. He kept writing music. He was filled with new ideas to the end. And his love for the music, his friends, his family, and his community here in the Poconos never flagged. The drummer on this recording is Bill Goodwin, and he was co-producer of the album with Suzanne Severini. Bill Goodwin is an internationally known musician who has had a distinguished career in his own right and who was a neighbor, friend, and colleague of Phil Woods and an original member of the Phil Woods Quartet and the Quintet. Bill Goodwin is a longtime resident of the Poconos, and taking a cue from this tune, we had a chance to reminisce about the old days and these days in anticipation of the 39th annual Celebration of the Arts Festival, the CODA Festival, in Delaware Water Gap, September 9th, 10th, and 11th, dedicated this year to the memory of festival co-founder and legendary musician Phil Woods. We began by talking about Bill Goodwin's roots in the community.
My relationship to the area and the community started with a simple visit in late summer, I think, maybe early fall of 1969. Must have been late summer. I came to visit Bob Durow. Bob and I had become friends a few years before that, and we had worked together in California. And then I moved to New York, and I brought my family with me, and Bob kept telling me to come and visit him in Pennsylvania. I had no clue where the Poconos were. I mean, I really didn't know anything about it. I was thinking, where are you? You're in Philly, you know, like, where are you at? So he says, no, it's in a small town and near the Pocono Mountains. I said, I have no idea where that is. So I followed him out there to his place in Mount Bethel, Pennsylvania, and I met his wife, Corrine, and I met his daughter, Erily. Turns out I had a daughter exactly the same age as Erily. His name is Lisa. And they hit it off, and the wives hit it off, and Bob and I were already friends. So that was the beginning, and we kind of fell in love with it, like, that first trip. And then within 6 months, they had moved to that same town. It was January of 1970. And in that town, where I was working in New York, but I was also traveling with the Gary Burton Quartet. Doing some road stuff, but playing a lot in New York. And so often commuting to the city many days a week, 3-4 days a week, sometimes even more. And in that town in Mount Bethel, a very small little hamlet, we used to joke it wasn't even a town, because you'd come across a toll bridge there at Portland, Pennsylvania, and welcome to the Portland Mount Bethel vicinity. Since we live in a vicinity, we don't even live in a town, you know. Bob helped me find my first place. I rented a house just outside Mount Bethel in what they call East Bangor, Pennsylvania, an old farmhouse with very, very reasonable rent. And with that rent, I could really afford to just go back and forth to the city as necessary. But we had Bob, myself, the bassist, Russ Savakis, who was a very busy studio bass player, recording bass player, who was also a contractor for studios. Played on a lot of famous pop recordings, including Burt Bacharach recordings, Walk On By, Dionne Warwick, and then Irby Green, of course, the great trombone player. And we had like a little club. I think Buddy Jones is a bass player, who's the original kind of jazz pilgrim in the area. He was still there. He moved fairly shortly out to California, where he remained until he passed away a couple of years ago. It was his wife, then ex-wife, Betty, was had gotten into real estate in the Poconos, and then through Buddy's connections, all these musicians started coming out. Betty was the first kind of person to hook people up with houses and stuff. Anyway, so that was, I just kind of fell into it because of Bob. And then there were resorts, you're too young to remember, but there were resorts through the Poconos, and they all had bands. And a lot of the bands had really good players in them. The main band, the great players, was a Bob Newman band at the Mount Airy Lodge. Bob Newman was a great sax player from Philadelphia originally, but had spent time in New York, and a marvelous player and arranger. And he had a regular band, like a rhythm section. Then he augmented on the weekends for the bigger shows. They did big shows with big stars would come out, you know, to play the Mount Airy Lodge. And it'd be like, you know, guys, even Phil Woods, just before I even met Phil, in the 60s, I guess, Phil used to come out and play sometimes, you know, in the augmented band. And, you know, and just like really great players. So Jay Cameron's a well-known baritone sax player who played with a lot of people in New York, had moved to the Poconos and had bought his music shop on Main Street in Stroudsburg, you know, Mainline Music. And we used to, once I got established out there, then I got to know Bob Newman and Jay and some of the other guys. It's really where I really got to know Steve Gilmore, was he came around the end of 70, 71 to play at the Mount Airy Lodge with Bob Newman. And then I got called to sub up there and ended up working there for a year. That's when Steve and I really hooked up, you know, and became the bass player and drummer in many groups. We were in about five or six groups together. When anybody asked me to recommend a bass player, because I was getting a lot of calls, I would recommend him. And when Phil Woods came on the scene, of course, we were ready for him. And it just kind of grew.
So it wasn't just that you all were flocking to New York to do your work and then coming home. You were playing here, too.
Well, there was work. There was work out here. You could at least work. You could work out here every weekend if you wanted to. And I ended up playing in all of the resorts, either as a regular player. After I'd worked in Mount Airy for a year, then I went back to more freelancing in New York. But I still often work weekends in the mountains. I did a lot of subbing in all the resorts. I probably played, you know, there were half a dozen at least that I played. And I also played in the Catskills. You know, this is a really centrally located on the periphery, I like to say.
And so then how did Phil Woods get into the picture? How did you guys first begin to play together?
Well, you know, Phil showed up at my house basically the end of 1973. He'd been traveling from California with my sister, Jill. They later got married, and she introduced me to Phil. She literally brought him to my house. I didn't have to leave the house. Phil Woods came to my house. They stayed with me for this house in Mount Bethel, PA. It's an old farmhouse for about, I don't know, 2 or 3 months. You know, Phil started getting some gigs, and then started getting their own places. But during that time, I had introduced him to Steve, and we had we used to play at my house. I had a piano, and Phil would join us. And then in February of 74, he sounded me and Steve about playing with him all the time, you know, trying to get some work. And I recommended Mike Melillo, who was our original pianist, who lived in Alamuchi, New Jersey, so it was still kind of in the neighborhood. And, so that's how we started. We started rehearsing, playing over at Mike's house. He also had a farmhouse out in the middle of nowhere in Alamuchi. So it was we're like a country band, you know, we're out here in the country. That's what we used to call it, you know, we're going out to the country, leaving the city, getting out to the country. There was no highway all the way through then, so it was a longer drive. And by the time you got about, you know, 20 miles away, you really felt different. It felt a very different, relaxed atmosphere. And there were places to play. Bob turned me on to the Deerhead Inn and brought me to hear the great Johnny Coase Jr. And that became my hangout. I was always hanging out at the Deerhead when I wasn't working or being somewhere else. And, you know, musicians in the area were growing. You know, there were people, Keith Jarrett lived just over the Jersey border, you know, about 15 minutes away. And you see him around a lot. And there were the Mount Airy guys. And Gilmore, of course, was here. And a great guitar player from New York, Richie Reznikoff, moved out, got a place out here. And, you know, it just grew. Dave Liebman showed up eventually. But, you know, I've been out here for 45 years, 46 years now. I was just sort of the second wave, small wave. At this point, I'm, you know, one of the older guys. I mean, there's Bob Dureau, of course. He's ahead. You know, he's our main guy. You know, he's really our, the spirit of the area resides in Bob. I would say the scene around the Deerhead, of course, is very central to our musical existence. It's just a great place to live, convenient, you know, affordable, and a nice place, nice people.
So it wasn't a surprise that a festival would come out of all of this sense of being neighbors, right? It sounds like you were neighbors as well as musical friends.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was friends and neighbors, and the festival started at one night at the bar of the Deerhead with it was a local bar owner from down the street named Eddie Joubert and Rick Chamberlain, the trombonist, who had known Phil since he was a teenager. And Phil and the three of them, and Rick had moved out here and ended up, at one point, he married the daughter of the owners of the Deerhead, Donna Lair. Anyway, they were all at the bar of the Deerhead, and I was standing there, like, right next to them, and they were just chatting away, and they turned to me and said, "We're talking about putting on a festival, you know, just put a festival right here in the Gap. We'll just play out in the street, you know, we'll invite people to come and we'll start something." And, you know, it's pretty late. We'd all had a few, and I agreed that it sounded like a great idea. And next thing I know, maybe it was that September. It's always been around the same dates. I can't remember if we went directly to that or if there was another year. I think we kind of went directly to it. Got like a little riser and had a piano, like upright piano on wheels, wheeled it out there, and just kind of set up in the street. And there was no admission. A couple hundred people probably came, and we just played. It was just kind of like a party in the street. And that was the beginning. This is the 39th festival, so that would mean that was in 1977.
And you never wanted it to be a kind of super festival. You really have tried, haven't you, to keep the quality the highest, but also that sense of camaraderie?
Well, it's supposed to be a community project is really what it is. I mean, you know, the first call for whoever is going to play, the first people approached, we used to take submissions. I was a scheduling director for many years, actually, and get these submissions and go through them. And it became like so many people wanted to play that we'd have to have a rotation. We didn't have people play like twice the same people, like subsequent years, you know, had to spread it out. But then it just became too much, so we made it by invitation only. But the invitations go to the most connected community. And we occasionally reach out a little bit. It'll be through someone in the community who might recommend somebody from the outside world to come in and join us. We'll bring in people as parts of, you know, like I brought people to play with me that weren't really a part of the community, but that I was, so they would come and play with me. And, you know, we would all do things like that. So it just kind of evolved that way, but the idea has never been to be, you know, commercial, like a big jazz festival. The local, it's a community, nonprofit community project. I'd say we've gotten as big as we're ever going to get. My always hope is that we could even keep it small or even get smaller in a way. We go back to the original idea, which is playing out in the street for our friends. So we'll see what happens.
And it's been bittersweet these last couple of years, because you just mentioned Ed Jaubert and Rick Chamberlain and Phil Woods, and they're all gone now.
Yeah, well, we lost Eddie quite a long time ago, and that was very tragic and weird as well, because he was murdered. And they never found out who did it. The crime had never been solved. And then Rick, of course, he got sick, and he hung in there. It's amazing, right up to the end. But we lost him. And then, the same year we lost Rick, we lost Eric Doney as well. As you know, one of our original, close to original people from the area, somebody that I met when I first moved out here. He was just out of high school. And, you know, it was very close. And Eric often performed at the festival. It was definitely an integral part of our community. So we lost those guys, and then, you know, now Phil. So it looks like all three of the founders are gone. You know, this festival will be dedicated to Phil. Last one was dedicated to Rick. Those old guys. We did a dedication to Bob. We wanted to do that before he checked out, and he's showing no signs of you know, being ready to check out. So we already done that 4 years ago. We had dedicated the festival to Bob.
How will that dedication or celebration of Phil Woods manifest itself this time around?
Well, this time around, there's going to be as many associated musicians from over the years that have played in the groups. For example, past sidemen in the groups are coming with their, and even current, like Steve Gilmore is going to have a group. I have a group. Al Galper is bringing a group. But it's going to be a very Phil-centric. We'll be playing his music. Also, we're doing a fundraising concert on the 8th of September, which is featuring the big band playing Phil's music, and also the surviving quintet members with the great alto saxophonist Vincent Herring playing the alto book. It'll be the quintet, the big band, and then we have the special guests joining us, and that's Randy Brecker, his wife, Ada Ravati, Houston Person, Bob Durow, and Grace Kelly. Well, that's on the 8th of September. That's sort of the kickoff. So it's CODA-related, and it's a fundraiser for CODA, and that's a celebration of Phil's life and Phil's music. And this is going to be a lot of Phil music, a lot of Phil Woods-associated musicians. And over the years, pretty much associated with everybody here, everybody who's going to play had some kind of relationship with Phil. You know, one of our big daddies, and just in general for, you know, music in general, he was one of the big daddies.
When you think about him, what kinds of things, legacy-wise, young people passing the tradition on?
Well, sure. I mean, he was instrumental in starting the youth band at CODA, the CODA Cats, which is in well over 30-year history at this point, and which continues. He's always been about teaching and mentoring the young players. And, you know, many of the people who are playing have been, you know, like Nelson Hill, John Gordon, Vincent Herring, you know, Grace Kelly were students of his, or people that he, you know, he mentored them, he recorded with them. There's a lot of that kind of thing was always a part of his makeup, you know, what was important to him. Was working with the youth. He had his own particular way of interacting. He wasn't like the kindly old professor or anything. He could be kind of a gnarly dude at times. But, you know, he's a devoted followers and the sax players. I mean, he's just a god to sax players, especially alto players, but all saxophone players recognize, you know, his great contribution. I think that would be important for him to realize that he had... And, you know, had a good influence, a good musical influence on people. As far as that whole thing about carrying the torch forward and all that, music is always going to go forward, whether we have gigs or not. You know, if we love this music, we're going to play it. And, you know, though it's a little different than it was when I first started playing, or sort of even when Phil formed his group, which is 1974, the scene has changed a lot before and since then. But those of us who are practitioners of it and who love it and do it on some level or another, you know, we're all about making it go forward. A lot of us teach. I mean, just about everybody that I mentioned and that's going to be on the program is doing something educational, teaching college, doing private lessons, touring, keeping the ball rolling. And, you know, we take guys like Phil as an example of what you can do in music. You don't have to be one of the greatest of all time. But if you work really hard, you can be really good, and you can be a good influence, and you can make good music, and you can almost make a living. I'm just kidding. But it's more of a mission. It's more of a mission than a profession, you know, a lot of times.
He was particularly taken with that Winnie the Pooh project.
Yeah, the children's suite. That was his pet project. He wrote it, you know, years before it ever got recorded, performed. So that was a very special thing for him to get that done. You know, the circumstances just never existed until they did. And then once they did, he got it done. So that was a great thing for him.
And it wasn't just music for young people.
Oh, no. Well, you know, the children's suite was for the child in all of us. You know, it doesn't matter how old you are. You still have that inner child. Speaking personally, you know, I just think of the little joke where the kid goes to his mom and says, you know, I've decided when I grow up, I'm going to be a jazz drummer. As well, son, you can't do both.
So there you have it.
Pretty much.
It's built into the title of the festival, Celebration, Celebration of the Arts. But I do remember probably 30 years ago doing an interview with Phil and his sense of the importance of community and neighbors. You've just put it so well about all of you. Is there anything in terms of being a musician, is the quintet, for example, a community in the sense that you're individuals, but you are working together for the greater good? You know, is there any kind of comparison there?
Well, you know, every band, especially if it's a working band that travels, you become like a family. You know, and you have your ups and downs. You have your really great times, and then there's other times when there are difficulties. And, you know, in a traveling band particularly, there's a lot of logistical stuff. But, you know, if we didn't care about each other and we didn't want to play music together, we couldn't function. I mean, you go out and you don't have a sense of community and a sense of purpose in what you're doing, then there's, you know, there's no point in doing it. None of us can exist without a community. I belong to a few of them. With the immediate family, there's my, you know, musical community, there's my academic community, and then just friends, associates. But in music, you know, I mean, I literally feel hooked up to hundreds, if not thousands of people, like all the time. I mean, it's just right there. I mean, I've gone out and played. I haven't counted up the amount of people that have heard me play live, but it's a lot of people. And then there's the recordings. And, you know, you're connecting with those people, and they connect with you as well. And sometimes maybe you never really, you know, meet them. I have met a lot of people over the years who were just fans and became friends, and of course, some interesting people. Of those associations and friendships come and go, but still, in many cases, for me, still exist. But for me, it's all about community. That's what it's always been about. The fact that we live in this little small town and we can have that, be up there playing on the stage and look out and recognize like most of the people who were there, I think that's pretty great. You know, we live connected lives. I mean, there's no way, you know, just, you know, be off by yourself and then all of a sudden just show up in the community unless you retain that connection. I mean, it's just the way it is. I've always, you know, found that to be a great feature of being a part of the musical community and the greater musical community, the jazz community, the community itself, you know, the Gap and related areas.
The vicinity, right? The vicinity.
In the vicinity, exactly. Yeah, welcome to the vicinity. I think I'm going to use that for my next album title. We'll see what happens with that.
Drummer Bill Goodwin speaking with us in anticipation of the 39th annual Delaware Water Gap Celebration of the Arts, the CODA Festival, remembering the late founder, Phil Woods, a co-founder with Ed Joubert and Rick Chamberlain. Phil Woods, NEA jazz master and legendary saxophonist. The event, September 9th, 10th, and 11th, this next weekend. Friday from 6 to 8 p.m., it's the opening reception of the Music Motif Art Show at the Dutot Museum on Main Street. There'll also be a dance, music, and theater performance at the Presbyterian Church of the Mountain on Church Lane from 7 to 9:30 on Friday night. Saturday, the Jazz Festival gets underway formally at noon on the main stage on Delaware Avenue, so noon to 9 on Saturday on the main stage. and Sunday, noon to 9 on the main stage, with a jazz mass at 10 a.m. on the main stage. For more information, on the web, cotajazz.org, cotajazz.org, the 39th Annual Jazz and Arts Festival in Delaware Water Gap. For more information, cotajazz.org, this year in memory of the late, great Phil Woods. Phil Woods and the Festival Orchestra here from the album titled Celebration, Phil's Theme. We'll be right back.